One of the great clichés about Duke Ellington's music is that he always wrote for individual soloists. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead says that's more or less true, but that more often he wrote from what his soloists improvised rather than for them. Kevin says when you understand the relationship between Ellington and his soloists, you'll know why the world celebrates his genius, not to mention his 100th birthday.
The Mooch, Duke Ellington and the Orchestra in 1928 with Bubber Miley on trumpet. Miley wasn't the first to use a toilet plunger as a wah-wah mute, but he combined it with a small second mute tucked inside the horn for an even more extreme sound. Duke's trombonist Joe Nanton soon picked up on it. So did Ellington the composer, who began writing such growls into his pieces. As often with Duke, a soloist's inspiration dovetailed with his own concept. Miley's talking trumpet is stylized blues singing, the way the Mooch is a stylized blues tune. Ever after, Ellington kept an ear out for some quirk of phrasing, a pet lick or a pet trick he could grab from some band member and then throw back at them as an element of a composition. The searing tone and slithery motion of alto saxophonist Johnny Hodges define the Ellington sound as much as wah-wah brass did. This is Junior Hop, 1940, where Ellington the composer bends blues form, much the way Hodges bends the notes of the melody. It's not that Ellington lacked his own ideas, but for him, the well-balanced jazz orchestra needs distinctive solo voices as well as a composer's grasp of form. But once a player's style really entered the band's sound, it stayed even after the originator moved on. When Bubber Miley left in 1929, very early, his sound was already entrenched, and his replacement, Cootie Williams, was expected to replicate it. If the understudy then developed the technique further, as Williams did, Ellington capitalized on that, too. This is Concerto for Cootie, 1940. By the 1940s, Ellington's band sound had been shaped by about a dozen players who were never all in the band at the same time. They also include Rex Stewart, Cat Anderson, Juan Teasel, and Lawrence Brown on brass, Barney Bigard, Ben Webster, and Harry Carney on reeds, and Jimmy Blanton on bass. By 1960, Saxophonist Paul Gonzalez and clarinetist Jimmy Hamilton had joined the list. In a way, the sound of each of these soloists became part of the orchestra's DNA. All the ancestors were in the mature sound. In the same way, Ellington's featured numbers might reflect his development as a pianist. Dancers in Love, with bassist Junior Raglan, carries echoes of childhood finger exercises, hot 1920s stride piano, and the endless repetitions of dance rehearsals. Because Ellington's music is a collective portrait of the people who played it, it's a model to other leaders of how a working band can develop its own unique sound, assuming that band has some original stylist to begin with. To me, those who try to mimic the Ellington sound instead of using his method to find their own style really miss the point. It's like they're carrying around pictures of somebody else's family in their wallet. Rex Stewart on cornet, doing his typical knee bends on Boy Meets Horn. In recent years, Ellington has been accused of ripping off the soloists who inspired him, and also his frequent arranger and collaborator, Billy Strayhorn. It is true Duke might have shared composer credits more readily. On the other hand, he often acknowledged the contributions of his colleagues, and produced a number of small group records for the key soloists under their own name. And Strayhorn's Take the A-Train was Duke's theme song for over 30 years. In any collaborative art, from painting Renaissance chapels to making movies, the person in charge usually gets the credit, and there's a good reason for that. The person in charge creates the conditions under which inspired ideas can come forth.
Kevin Whitehead is the author of New Dutch Swing. We'll conclude our celebration of the centennial of Duke Ellington's birth on Thursday when we talk with Gary Giddens, author of Visions of Jazz, The First Century. For Terry Gross, I'm Ken Tucker.